Alright, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Alright, let me just share something with us briefly today. We're not going to do any much praying today. I just want to explain something. Actually, this morning, my wife and I were praying about something, and then I just made a statement and we were praying, and I said that I should share that with people again. Prayer is very easy. It's just say the thing that you want done, and then you will see God do it. One of the problems you have about prayer in Christianity is that we have complicated it so much that some people think they don't know how to pray. Alright? I'm just going to explain something. Just summarize many things we have said here and there over time. And then we'll leave it there. The book of James chapter 1. It's not something I'm going to say that's absolutely... I'm not saying something we have not discussed before, but we just want to crystallize everything into a single message. I believe it will bless many people to hear this. They are going to listen to it on radio, on the tapes, on the internet, and all of that. So, let's discuss from the book of James chapter 1. Let me read from verse 5. Where I'm going is verse 6, but as usual, I like to read a few verses so as to put it in context. We'll read 5 to 8. It said, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, this is a condition upon which he will receive that. He said, but let him ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. He said, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, this is the point here. He said that God gives to people generously. God does not withhold from people what they need, all right, if they ask him properly. Now, and James said so, further down, he said, you have not, quickly just go down to that portion. James chapter 4, let's quickly read that. What is the source of quarrels, he said in verse 1, and conflict among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members, that is your desires, things that you want to have and claim you're enjoying life with? He said, you lost, that is your, what your pleasure is doing to you. You lost and you do not have. So you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have, that is the foundation of all of these problems in your life. The foundation of all the quarrels and the committing of murder, both literally and figuratively. And I believe mostly figuratively here from what James is saying. The foundation of everything is that you do not ask. Do you understand the point? He said you do not ask. Now, he now said in verse 3, when you do ask, you don't receive. That is, you don't have because you don't ask. And when you don't ask, when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. All right? He now said in verse 4, you adulteresses. Do you not know, why is this in adulteresses, please? You have to understand, he wasn't talking to women alone. It's just that when you are talking about the relationship between man and God, that human beings are seen as a wife. Do you get my point? And God is seen as a husband. Do you understand what I mean? So that's why the nation of Israel will commit adultery. And because they were like God's bride. So when he said, you adulteresses, he was talking to everybody, male and female. Do you follow what I mean? He said, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Let me just stop there, alright? Please, I want you to just understand something here. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, I think I should read some things further. I want to read one more verse, verse 7. It says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, if you go and read James, John says something in 1 John. He said that, that's chapter 5, that this is the confidence we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Are you getting my point? Now, I want to just explain that briefly. So let me title my message today, how to ask and ask correctly, all right? It's a good one, isn't it? It's simple to the point. How to ask and ask correctly. Now, James has explained something to us here, that the major problem, why we have problems of quarrels, of troubles at home and in our private lives, is because we don't have some things. But the main foundation of that is the fact that we don't ask correctly. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, if we were to ask God for things correctly, we would discover many of the problems in our lives, they are gone. Do you understand what I mean? Now, please, that's my message. It's just taken from this book of John. And since we're in the school of prayer, it's not, like I said before, it's not every time we pray. Other times, we just teach so that we learn how to pray properly. And what I'm teaching today is how to ask correctly. Now, there are many things we have heard people say. There's one I hear all the time, and of course, I've told you before that I don't believe it is true. People say the secret to receiving is giving. I said it's not true. It's amazing that we just insist upon that thing when the Bible never said so. The secret to receiving, James said, is what? Asking, and asking properly. That's the secret to receiving. All right? Giving is a good thing, and giving is done for the right motives. All right? We don't give because we want to get. We give because we should give. I mean, you don't breathe because you want your neighbor to breathe. You breathe because breathing is part of your system. Are you getting my point? You're not breathing just because you want to live long for your children. You just breathe. Do you understand my point? And many other things are added to your breathing. That's what I'm saying. Long life is added to your breathing. Your ability to bless other people is added to your breathing. But the reason why you breathe is because you just have to breathe. That's just life. I hope you know you're not even breathing to stay alive. No, you breathe because you were born to breathe. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. The child that's born today doesn't know the concept of staying alive. He doesn't know, but he has to breathe. Do you follow? In fact, the moment he comes out of the womb, what causes the fighting and the quarrels is because he wonders, the person who was breathing for me, why did she suddenly stop? Do you understand? And then we know this one in medicine. Then the carbon dioxide level in the child's blood starts building up rapidly. And then the brain picks that signal and it fires straight down to the lungs. So the child takes a breath automatically without understanding the concept of living. Do you understand my point? Kindness is in the heart of the believer. Alright? Love is in the heart of the child of God. Therefore, that's why we give. We are givers by nature. Please go and read that tract, Cheerful Giver. God said, Solomon said, God made men upright, but he sought out many devices. One of the reasons why Christians don't live up to the life that God put inside them is because they sought out many other devices. Go and read that in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Alright, Solomon said it. That is, when we become afraid, we suddenly stop being givers. Do you understand my point? When we are worried about tomorrow, we suddenly stop being givers. Otherwise, it's the nature of Christ that is in us. So I'm bringing out something here. Therefore, you find that the key to getting everything you require in life is what? Asking. That's all. And listen, I can tell you this. It's playing out in my life. As a matter of fact, you heard me say it before. Let me say it again. There is nothing. Let me say it so that you know I know what I'm saying. There is not anything that I desire in life that I ask God for that I don't get. Now, and I'll explain something along the line. What will upset some people is that I don't always get them when I think I should have them. And as I've been growing, I have realized how not to harass God with time. I have discovered that God knows more about time than I do. Do you follow what I'm saying? That one I have discovered. That God knows the times of my life better than me. Please, I want you to understand that. So, I don't harass God about timing. So, I may want to have something now, alright? And then, sometimes you get it now, other times you get it now, rarely. Most times you get it later. But, this is what is sure. I have proved that from personal experience. There's nothing that I have really wanted. And I continued to desire that God has not, that God does not give. That's a better way. Because there are things I've desired also. And suddenly I see the events of life are playing out in such a manner that I know. You know, Elijah looked. He was praying. Alright? He told his servant, go and check. And his servant was looking. Alpha, he said nothing. Everywhere just empty, buying like that. So Elijah said, no worry, something will change just now. Just watch me. Then he go pray. Alpha said nothing. The guy kept praying. There at a point in time, he saw a cloud. He said, about the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, it's enough. All right, let's run. It's coming. What I'm trying to say is that there are times, even as a prophet, all right, you look at the event and you know what is about to happen. And there are things I have desired, all right, from the hand of the Lord. And I just look at the event as if I have seen the cloud. The cloud is gathering. I'm no longer like praying, oh God, oh, let this happen. I just know that, oh yeah, get ready. All right? Something is about to happen, like Pastor Paul would say. All right? And that's a matter of, I want you to understand that thing. God indeed answers prayers. I preached that message sometime last year. He answers prayers. What happens a lot of times is that we don't understand the answer to prayer. A lot of times we ask things that we do not understand. two guys came to Jesus Christ, amongst the disciples, apostles actually. Grant that will sit on your left and your right. Jesus said now, and that's my message, part of it today. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. That's what I want to say from that. That is, there are times we make requests of the Lord, and we don't even have an idea of what we're talking about. There are many people, and I'm talking about how to pray, how to ask, and ask properly. There are many people who are praying as an example. They want to be governor. Do you know why? Because all they think about concerning being a governor is that convoy that passes. And the fact that the man drives very nice rides, and you know, do you follow my point? They don't know anything more than that concerning being a governor. Therefore, when they go and pray, God looks and says, you bobos, you don't know what you're asking for. There are people who are praying that, God, I want to drive, you know, that big jeep. I want a Ford Explorer, no big one. Why? Because when I enter it, I will look like me too. I have entered something big. God said, can you buy the fuel that goes with it? So, are you getting my point? So when you see a little boy, he said, yeah, three students on campus. And they say, ask God for anything. Say, Ford Explorer. God says, you don't know what you're asking for. You don't know that Ford Explorer probably has a tank of about 120 liters. And at 65 naira a liter, all right, it's going to be a monthly allowance to fill the tank. And if you start driving it, the fuel will finish. Recently, I bought a phone for my son. He just feeling happy. So I explained to him, you call only two people, your mother and your father. Because if you call you won't pay so much. He said, I want to call my grandmother. I said, no, you will flash your grandmother. Then your grandmother will call you back. Then my wife said they should buy him credit one day. 400 naira. I heard when they loaded 400 naira. So next day, my mom traveled. I said, call your mother. Ask her when she's coming. Said, daddy, I don't have credit. That's my son again. I said, what? You don't have credit. I was here yesterday when 400 naira credit was put on your phone. What did you do with it? I called my grandmother. Ah, you called an MTN line. If he called me, it's 2 naira a minute. If he called his mother, it's 2 naira a minute. You call your grandmother, it's 24 naira a minute. Aha, I said, that's so. Okay. I said, all right. You better continue listening to radio with your phone, because I cannot be giving you 400 naira credit a day. So imagine a little boy asking for food. He thinks that because he sees me on the phone all the time, he doesn't know that every time you talk like that, there's blood transfusion into Zin. You are donating blood. And you know, of course, he doesn't understand the concept of paying for credit, putting it on the phone, and the thing gets exhausted. The guy does your whole phone like this, and you begin calling everybody. And that's the problem with a lot of us in life. We don't know what we are asking for. Yeah, there are two young men who came here one day. They heard, I don't know, somebody deceived them. Somebody must have deceived them. I don't believe somebody told them this. Somebody deceived them. They came all the way from Osaka for a seminar. They were not listening to me, they were all waiting. A block listen maker asked that they want to see pastor. Say, what is the problem? That they heard that pastor helps people go abroad. You're not laughing. I'm surprised. You don't find it funny. Which pastor? Listen maker looked at them like, when did this guy, Pastor Bangi, start arranging visa? And what? For who? To where? Like I said in one of the books, I told this in one of my books. I said, I think somebody deceived those young boys. Maybe they had this crazy idea they want to go abroad by force. But the person now said, go and see Pastor Banky, knowing that by the time I finish preaching, they will change their minds. But what they heard was a different matter. I just see, where you won't go and make nothing spoil. Just go and go. They came all the way from Musuka. Now, this is the point. I looked at two of them. Obviously, they don't have sense. Do I need to tell you more than that? From the story I've told you now, they don't have sense. Do they have? You go and meet it, an absolute stranger to you, that you want to go abroad and he will arrange. So, sense they lack. Their very presence shows that they don't have money. Yes, because they had nowhere to stay, it was night. We had to advise them to go and browse all night to survive the night. Do you follow my point? That's it too. All right? Looking at them, I don't think they have any serious skill. Now, you put those three things together, they want me to... Assuming I could, that would be that would be the wrongest set of people to help. People without sense, without skill, without money. Do you follow my point? Because suffering, even if I could transport them, just land in the streets of New York, hunger will beat the living daylights out of the guys. You know, you've not seen the kind of thing. I've heard this before. A guy, after struggling to get to Europe, one day he submitted himself for deportation. That's, since I cannot pay my way back home, please, I'm an illegal immigrant. Look at me. I snuck into this country. How do you drive people away? Please deport me, I beg you. Now, what have I said? Those two young women, they did not know what they were what asking for. It happens. All right? And that's why sometimes it appears as if the prayers that we are praying, all right, they are delayed. Please, that's why it appears sometimes as if the prayers are delayed, because we don't know exactly what we're asking for. And let me say something which I've said several times. God never wastes time. Do you get my point? He never wastes time. The only thing he does is to use the time to build up something in you and to build up something around you. Give you an example. Joshua. Joshua believed God, but did not enter the promised land one day ahead of the rest of the nation of Israel. Why? If he had entered the promised land one day ahead of them, what would he have been doing there? Leading the Gentiles? He was supposed to be a leader in Israel. So he had to wait until the rest of Israel, they were ready to enter into the promised land. I'm one person that believes very strongly in God's appointed wife. Amen? I never do know in university. People go to talk, you were praying, you receive, you see vision, you want to see vision, who you are supposed to marry. I said, God is very wise. If he had shown me the vision of one small girl in secondary school that time, I would have cast out that demon by force. Because that's exactly where my wife was, when I would have been praying that kind of prayer. And we did not meet for the next maybe 10 years. And I could not have married somebody else according to the order of God. So you can't force God to show you vision. Are you getting my point? There are visions that don't... I've been restraining myself from preaching that message again. The issue on how to wait for God. Because I've preached it two or three different ways. So I don't know how else to preach it, so I don't be like I'm preaching the same thing again. But we must learn to wait for God's timing in everything. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? It's very vital. And God is using many people to prepare for you where you are supposed to go to. And until, like Jesus said that, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. He now said what? I'm going ahead to go and prepare a place for you. Then when your place is prepared, I will now come back and come and receive you to myself. Many people want to jump into places where that has not yet been fully prepared for them. Do you follow the point? Meanwhile, God is working hard, trying to bring forth that thing to full preparation before he brings them into it. I'm explaining some of the reasons why it appears as if God has not answered your prayers. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm still getting back to my main message for the day, all right? And what's the message? It concerns this, how to ask correctly. Now, just one thing I want to share with us today, which, like I said, I've shared here and there, again and again. When we're talking about the hundredfold blessing, was it on that or where? I talked about the purification of the heart. Can you remember that? We're talking about the matter of prayers. That one of the things we do in prayer, all right, is to purify our hearts, all right? That's one of the things we do. One of the most important things we do with prayer, all right, is to purify our hearts. And I talk about somewhere, I don't know exactly what we're discussing. They're talking about purification of motives also, all right? Now, the one I want to bring out today is the issue of understanding, let me add that one to it again, exactly what it is that you're asking for. Now, that is very important. You know, we said something from the book of James. Let me explain that thing to us again. James said something here. Listen to it. He said, let him ask in faith, verse 6, James chapter 1, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And such a man, he said in verse 7, should not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. One of the major reasons why God cannot give us the things we're asking for is because we are unstable. And one of the reasons, one of the major reasons why we are unstable is because we don't understand really what is motivating us. Now, this is not just a matter of what we're asking for, but what really is motivating us to ask for that thing. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Like James and John came to Jesus and said, grant that we sit on your left and on your right. Look, what is motivating them was this desire, which was still in them as natural human beings, to be important. Let me use that expression. And not understanding what they were asking for. All right, first, what was motivating them? They wanted to be important. All right? And number two, they did not know what they were asking for. Jesus said that one. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about what was pushing them. What was pushing them was the issue of, I want to be important. And Jesus had to explain to them, you see, you don't understand that the concept for what you are asking for, if you want to reach it in life, you must understand that whosoever will be the most important person amongst you must be the servant of all. So that next time you come praying, you should pray and say, how can I serve people? I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. Now, this is not about a matter of who should sit on your left or on your right. What was driving these two boys, all right, if I may use the expression, all right, is that they wanted to be important. And Jesus said, no, you don't get the point. He explained to them why they were now quarreling. He said, no, don't bother quarreling. The guys missed the point. Whosoever will be the greatest amongst you, he must be the most serving one amongst you. That his service is a pathway, all right, in God's kingdom to greatness. Therefore, a man shouldn't come and say, look, I want to be great. He should go back and say, I want to serve. That's the order of God's kingdom. What am I saying? What was pushing them, all right, was not just the post. It was a weakness. Now, listen to this now. It was a weakness inside their hearts. I was sharing with Kingsley on Saturday here after our meeting. So something led to it. We're now discussing about this matter of prayer. In fact, it's part of the things I'm sharing with us today. And I said, you know the problem with a lot of people? That they are asking for from God what God cannot give them. Even if God smoked. All right? I mean, when I say smoke now, you know, Indian hemp, cocaine. All right? On top of that, he got drunk and then he fell asleep. He can't grant it. A lot of people are asking for such things. And let me explain why. Let me give you this very practical example. A man may come, and this example I gave to Kingsley that Saturday. They'll say that, God, I want a house. Give me a house. Give me a house. Houses are good. Amen. If you want a house, you should ask for a house. Amen. And may God bless you with your own house. Amen. May you have three safe. Amen. And if you desire 200, may God give you 270. Amen. I don't know why I always come with those odd figures, all right? But 270 is better than 200. So if you want 200, God will give you 270. All right? And God can do it, and that's not a big deal. And God has no nothing. He's in no house. He does like this. 200 is built. He does like this. 1 million collapses. So it's not an issue. I mean, a few months ago in Haiti, there was one small, you know, God was just passing by. And it's usual when God is walking past, things they shake, all right? It's true. Now go and check when Elijah went to the mountain. All right, you know, things were shaking when God was just passing by Haiti. All right, after that, God vexed that day. Actually, he was very angry. I know. All right, so in his anger, he didn't just walk by; he stomped past. So the whole of Haiti shook. The president was sitting in the after the whole earthquake and everything. He was sitting in the airport. Okay, what are you doing here? He said he has to walk and help coordinate everything. And even if he wanted to go home, there's no house to go to because the best built building in the country, the presidential palace collapsed. So house is nothing as far as God is concerned. Amen. All right. So this is what I'm trying to make. But some people we ask and God will say, "Lie, lie! I'm not giving you anything." Other people we ask and God will. How many do you ask for? You ask for one. I didn't just manage two. I just hold these two first. The one is okay. Say, I wait. You will soon have visitors. So God gives him two. He asks for just his nice bungalow. God gives him two wing duplex and all of that, terrace building, and you know, God just blessed the guy anyhow. You know the difference? The difference is that the first person was asking that God refused to give to. He said, God is saying that you are asking for a replacement for me in your life. This is the point. Let me explain. The man has looked at the way the country is going. When I came to Enugu, cement was 700 naira a bag. Now it is 1,900. Hey! He looks at civil service, say one day they feel lay people off, or the company where he's working. So after considering everything, out of fear of tomorrow, he kneels down and says, God, please, give me a house. And God sees his heart. Are you getting my point? And says, this man is motivated by fear of tomorrow. The fear of tomorrow is what brought him to this point. Now, he wants security in a material thing. In a building, like we said earlier, that means nothing, can easily be built, can easily collapse. Do you understand the logic? All right? In that one, all right, God looks at it and therefore he says, no, I can't give it to him. He's asking for a replacement for me. I don't know whether I get my point. He's asking for security for tomorrow. I can't. That's one thing God does not ever give his children as a material possession, security for tomorrow. No, he never does that. He said, no, take no thought for tomorrow. I must be your security for tomorrow. So if anybody is asking for money so that at least I'm sure that my children will be able to go to school. And how old are they? The oldest one is 10 years old. The money is supposed to be for university. Are you getting the point? So he was trying to gather so that in the next few years when they will start going to university, you have enough. God will deny him totally. Do you know God will answer you quicker? If you say, Lord, I want to just sleep in the house for 1 week. After that, I set it on fire. You are likely to get an answer quicker than when you have a serious and cogent reason which has to do with the integrity of your tomorrow to present. So the human being, you say that, no, this is more reasonable. This is a reasonable person. He knows. You follow what I'm saying? Security is important. This is a wasteful man. Because this wasteful man, you know why he's wasteful? He's not attached to material things. It's not because he's careless, but because he knows that what is a big deal? It's not a house. Well, we'll live in it for 1 week. That's somebody, and then we'll move on to another one. Anytime we need, we can ask. That kind of person gets faster. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm talking about the motive behind what you're asking for. And believe me, if you want to pray, it's one assignment I give you. First thing, settle down and say, why am I asking? Why? There's one illustration I like to use. A man comes and he's praying. Say, who has a special prayer point? Put up his hand. Sow a seed towards his prayer point. He sows a seed. Join hands towards his prayer point. He joins hands. What is the prayer point? I want my brother to be saved. Very noble prayer point, right? But God starts laughing in heaven. This boy, forget. It is because of you, I will kill that guy and send him to hell. Now, thank God it's not because of you. He said, why? Because the young man is in university. His brother has a lot of money. Or at least he earns a lot of money. Except that the guy smokes. He drinks. He womanizes. He doesn't believe in church at all. Therefore, his brother gets little of the money he has. Do you understand my point? So the young boy is in school struggling. He's having to sell recharge cards part-time to make ends meet. Because he doesn't have parents to take care of him. Either they are not there or they are not able. This is a brother that he has. But the brother is always funding all his girls and all his waka about. So money never trickles down to this bobo. So bobo starts praying. Are you getting my point? And he fasts. And he fasts. And he prays. And he prays. And God does not answer. Why? Because it is not the love for his brother's soul that's pushing him. It's just that in his heart he's thinking that once this guy gives his life to Christ, money will stop disappearing in all kinds of ways. And then because I'm a believer, his heart will turn towards me and I'll be getting some money. And therefore God does not answer the prayer. Not because God does not answer prayers, because his prayer does not make sense. But on the surface, towards the salvation of your family member, begin to declare. He will declare, but you know what God is hearing? Towards the improvement of my financial situation. God, save that guy. That is what is called insincerity. That's what it's called. That's one part of double-mindedness. One part of double-mindedness, we discussed this one before, is when your heart is saying one thing and your mouth is saying another. Do you understand my point? Your heart is saying one thing and your mouth is saying another. Let's talk about these material things again. A car, a house, anything in life, materially. A young man can be praying and praying and praying and praying. And God says, you know the problem? Competition. Envy. Jealousy. And that's what James was talking about. I always say something which God helped me with. You know, what I give as illustrations a lot of times is that a man wants to, let's talk about cars. I like nice cars, all right? I like, and I know a bit about them. the most expensive cars around are sports cars. You know that? Yeah. So all these big jeeps you see around, somebody driving one huge Land Cruiser, is less than one third. Okay, let's say it's less than half, and I'm sure of that. It's about one third the price of, let's say, of course, a Ferrari is more than three times the price of that Land Cruiser that you are praying for. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But if God places two of them side by side and say, bank, choose one. If he doesn't give us the option of selling it and collecting the balance, I don't like a Ferrari. But you know why? You drive it lying down, almost. The cars are so low, it's designed that you have to recline. It doesn't give me the feeling of being on top of the world that I like. It's a personal thing. Do you get my point? If you see me driving a Land Cruiser, I don't care. That it doesn't. It's not because I want to feel more important than somebody else. Because if you went to a country like America, the man driving the Ferrari is more important than the man who's driving a Land Cruiser. Yes. Because most people don't understand. You drive a Porsche, you have to be respected. Everybody drives a Toyota. You know what I mean? What is Land Cruiser? Everybody can buy one, if you know what I mean. But despite that, it doesn't move my soul personally. I'm talking about personal desires. You can have desires that just plainly based on desires. And if that's the kind of desire you have, it's not motivated. You're not competing with anybody. I'm not going to prove a point to anybody. You just want to be belleful. You know what I mean? You like my English there. Right? You just want to be belleful. Alright? You just want to feel happy in purity like that. You know, God has no problem with it. Really? Really? I've always said it. Suffering is not righteousness. Are you hearing my point? What is it? It's a stage in life. You must be able to enjoy suffering. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what the Bible says? What did it say? It's endurance. So if you pray to God, Lord, I don't want to suffer. It's a good prayer point. Is that my point? Yeah, it is. You say, Lord, if you give me this, I will not suffer in this area anymore. It's a very vital prayer point. But if you say, Lord, if you give me this and I drive back to campus, they will know. Ah, God said, this guy don't crease. He don't crease. That is, I can't give him anything. He's absolutely out of his mind. Listen, it takes spiritual maturity to be able to tell yourself the truth. There are people, but they think men are troublesome. No, there are women like that. They just say these men are troublemakers. They would rather live alone. But because Angela has married, then husband becomes their prayer point. When of Angela? What is concerned with all these troublesome guys? Are you seeing the point I'm making? That's what James meant when he said, don't you see that to be a friend of the world is what? Enmity towards God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, you know, when you want to pray, ask yourself simply because, and when John said, when you pray that, when you, if you ask according to his will, so what some people, well, what some of us think is that we'll go and pray and say, God, is it thy will that I should have this or not? No, that's not a wrong prayer entirely, except that it's hard to interpret the answer. If God says yes, no, you know, I told you there's a material I'm working on. Please, I'll make sure, let me write it down now so that I don't forget. Because I really must finish it. I've explained it again and again the last few weeks here. Talking about how God speaks to people. If God can say yes, and in all honesty, do you know it means nothing? If I say this to me, it sounds funny. God can say yes and no at the same time, and they mean the same thing. If you want to insist on hearing him say something. That's why it was possible for God to tell Balaam, yes, no. And then he came back and Balaam heard yes. God didn't say yes, Balaam heard yes. That's the way I understand it. He said, but the Bible says that God said, that, you see, that's looking at it from the angle of Balaam. Because if God really said yes, why should God stay on the road to behead him? Do you understand the logic? So that's why some of the time you kneel down, God, speak. Do you follow my point? He doesn't just say anything. Because whatever I say now doesn't have any meaning, really. Why am I saying so? When John said, if we ask according to his will there is not Should I have this thing or not have it? What John meant is that there is a will of God. Let me just give the opposite. For example, jealousy is not the will of God. Are you getting my point? Vainglory is not the will of God. Desire to show off is not the will of God. And let me say it again. Let's not allow the world send us into competition. He said, because you want to not say, okay, yes, yeah, because you are an evil man, and evil men go home during Christmas. I like Yoruba men, they don't go home during Christmas, so you are not under pressure. Christmas time, you go home anytime. Can go home during Christmas. If you don't come, doesn't matter. It's only your mother that will miss you. Do you understand? The village will miss you. Who knows whether you come or not anyway? So, don't so you not desire yourself, say, I will show them that God can bless a Christian also. So you are planning to watch the next Christmas. So that the glory, hallelujah. You know, a lot of confused pastors are preaching it. God will take the glory and shine it upon you. And what he's saying is that you said you join the rat race of the unbelievers from your village. And God does not play that kind of game. Long ago, I discovered, you know, before I was a young believer, I used to wonder, how God, you neither sleep nor slumber, but you did sleep when Bill Gates became the richest man in the world. You know that kind of attitude. You didn't like God, but you never sleep or slumber. So, but did you fall asleep suddenly and Bill Gates became rich while you were sleeping? No, God, it is not true. It must not happen. The children of the born woman must not be lord over the children of the free woman. You'll be quoting all kind of quotations in prayer. God is looking at this boy. He said, you don't understand. I don't compete with anybody. My God can do it. He said, I'm not in doubt. I'm just not interested. Do you want to be rich? Say yes, sir. Don't ask me why Bill Gates is richer than you. What's your problem? Who told you he's rich? Forbes. Yes, it's a magazine that told you he's rich. He said, have you come to ask me what I think of the amount of money he has? You have not. So please forget the idea. I don't get involved in competition. So drop the prayer point of saying that the God is the richest. And then people are, you know, Islam has confused a lot of Christians. They are prospering. It's because of this. We like copying Islamic methods. That these are the principles that Muslims became very rich. So Christians will queue up to copy Islamic. I said, look at confusion. You read my prophecy about the Middle East before, you know? Let nobody go and learn Islamic principles because you think they are rich. No. Because you see, I am not competing on who's the richest. Therefore, brethren, when you want to pray, when John said praying according to his will, what it means is that part of your prayer points, the part of your prayer motivations must not be anything competitive. So once you rise in prayer and start quoting for God, dear Lord, you know my friend, Mike, he has done this. My friend Fred, he has done this. My friend Andrew, he has done this. Philip, Bartholomew, even Judas has done this. Because you never start. And you never start. You don't know what is driving you yet. How to pray properly. That's what we're talking about. It's simple. You know, I said something to us before. Let me repeat it. That James said, pray without doubting. And that when we use the word doubt, there are different ways we look at faith. We look at faith, number one, as faith towards God. So let him ask in faith, all right? Not doubting, without any doubt. You can look at faith as faith towards God. That's true, that's faith. But in that context, I don't believe that's what James was saying. James was talking about faith in yourself. And I don't mean concerning that towards yourself now. What I mean, faith within you, that's a better word, concerning the thing that you are asking. And when you see him talking about double-minded, that you have not even made up your mind. What I mean is this. You know, the other day, my wife wanted to select clothes for her children. She said, my husband, look at these two. Which one do you think is better? The green one or the ash-colored one? After a while, I said, the green one. I said, you think so? I said, yes. I said, why do you think so? You want to know the reason why I think so? She said, yes. I said, because that was the first one you said is fine. I said, as far as I am concerned, these are children's clothes. The two of them look the same. The same design, the same everything, just different colors. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm bringing an issue with that. Then I looked at it, I said, she asked me that thing maybe like 5 different times. That answer I gave was like the first time that I learned that trick. The first two I was explaining, oh, this, they're all the same, they're all the same. After a while, I just used to say, which one does she really want to believe this divine one? I just say that one. I'm bringing an issue here. Why do I talk like that? These are children's things, and these are temporal matters. I'm bringing an issue. So today now, green can be finer. Tomorrow you wake up, the color of your eye changes, then ash is finer. Have you noticed? It happens. Ah, guys, in fact, you guys, you know this one. These ladies, they won't understand what I'm talking about. So ladies, close your ears. Guys, especially Chinedum, will you understand what I'm saying? So actually, you understand, alright? Gozi, I know you'll get the point. But the only person really could get the point properly, this is my girl, Ekene, for there. All women, close your ears. Has it ever happened to you before? You see a woman for the first time, you almost fall down. She's so fine. Chris. Then 2 weeks later, you start washing your eyes to see, what was it that happened to me 2 weeks ago? You know, senior bubbles are nodding. They say, yeah. And Chinedu is pretending like, I don't know what you're talking about. Look, if it has not happened to you before, say amen in your heart. I don't want the forces to tell lies. In fact, let me give you an example. Yinka said something that the first time he saw that before, he thought Toyota Avensis, alright, was the finest car on this earth. He thought it was the fact. He said, but now he looks like the car. The car is fine, but he just doesn't understand what he wanted to die for that time. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, if you take your faith is on material things, that's why God won't just give you. Because you will soon get tired. So, if your faith is on material things, it's so easy to waver. When I say material things, I don't mean you are hoping concerning your destiny, alright? And it's based upon what you have. No. I mean that you want to hold on to faith concerning this kind of house that you have seen. It's hard. It's very hard. It's very hard not to doubt. Because as a matter of fact, you can wake up, because God may not accomplish that within the first 6 months. It might take him longer than that. But after the first 6 months, you've seen a final one and you have revised the prayer point. He said, Lord, come on, I need to talk to you. He said, what's up? You know, about 6 months ago, we were discussing this house matter. I don't like that one again. He said, what's happening now? You know, I followed my friend, all right, to one district of Abuja last week. I can't see the kind house way. So, Lord, I want to ask you for that one. Lord said, no problem. Then he starts all over again. Start arranging the process. After 3 months, you dial. Ping, 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 ping. Papa God, now you be that. Something happened. What did happen? They were on TV today. They showed the house that this man lived in. And now I realize I actually prefer it to those other two. After a while, next time you call, the angel will say, Baba is busy, forget. He said, no, house matter. He said, look, they have sent you one shed, you know. Manage it until you make up your mind. Now, is that something? I know people have preached that, focus on it. I said, listen, you cannot focus on material. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's Christianity for a believer to carve an image out of something material and focus on it and be prophesying about it every day. I don't think it's Christianity. I think believers should focus on purpose. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's what I mean by the fundamentals. The bottom things concerning prayers. Yes, because there's nothing wrong with good desires. You know, I keep on saying that thing. I've emphasized that it's a good thing to desire a good thing. For example, there's a kind of car I would like to have. Alright? The Lord God and I have learned something I don't describe, I don't mention names anymore. Let me give an example. As when you were young, as far as you were concerned, the best cars in the world were maybe BMWs, as an example. Then when you grew up, Lexus was now developed as a new range, and you now saw a Lexus as better than the BMW you ever saw before. And if God didn't give you a BM, he gave you a Lexus, has he refused to answer your prayer? No. For somebody like me, this is how I do it. I explain to the Lord exactly what I need. Now, because want and need are two different things. I'm not saying need must be you want to die if you don't get it too. What I mean is that, I want to use the house. Let's use the house as an example. All right? And the car. Two material things easy to explain. One, I like space. That's just is in my soul. Since I was young, my mother used to say it. That I'm like her father. All right? That there's a way. I like things big. I've never liked small things. Do you understand? So when we love sports cars, I wonder, why should you love a sports car? Why can't you love a truck? You know what I'm saying? That's the... Yes, you know what Americans call a truck, right? Like a Toyota Sequoia is a truck. Infiniti QX56 is a truck. That's that size. That's what Americans call them truck. I mean, I just wonder, why can't you love a truck? I mean, why should you love this sport? Ah, they say it's very fast. Where are you running to? When you're inside a nice car, you should drive slowly so that the fuel can enter your body. And it's just a joke. One day, a friend of mine, one of my colleagues, I went to Lagos. So we trained together. I was in department. And so I was now going to my, at the close of work, I was now going to my friend's house, which was in the same premises. She now said, Banky, should I give you a ride? I said, no, I'll just walk now. She'll be in the same premises. So we now walked out of the office complex together. And I came out and I saw her husband's driver had come to pick her. And I said, is that your car? She said, yes. Oh, that's why you wanted to give me a ride. Oh, yeah, no, I need the ride, though. I need the ride. So I jumped into the car, and I sat in front. And I asked the driver. I said, go very slowly. The driver laughed at it like, which kind of car is this one? I said, go slowly. Where are you running to? So the guy, because the distance was very short. That's why I didn't need the ride initially. So I said, you have to cover this distance over a long period. Because this was a brand new M-Class. So I sat inside and the driver was going very, I said, easy. The guy drove slowly till I reached where I was going. And I came and thanked them very well. Now this is what I'm making. That's what it's been asking. Where are you running to? The sports car is fast. Fast away. You should sit down and enjoy. Have you seen the seat of a sports car? It's like Paco. The design is that you can't fall asleep. The car is bare. They don't really make them automatic. You have to change gear. Choo-choo-choo because... You like boom, 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 boom. That's why they made a car. I have never liked it. No, I can sit, I can analyze for you. I can analyze it for you. If I do you want one? No, thanks. I'll pass. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, I like good things are good. That's what I'm just trying to emphasize. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Good things are what? They are very good. So I have learned to just go down to the basics. Let me get back there. To the very basics, the rudiments, the bottom of it. Say, Lord, I love a house. You know, I like space. One, I have described the kind of bedroom I like. It's based on space. An attachment to to my study, where my books will be, where I write my books and read and all of that. Then to my gym. So, you know, there are little things I put in there. And then around, more space. I see people, it's very common in Enugu. I think all over Nigeria is like that. The man will buy 400 square meters of land. And then put a house that... Ha! I said, these are poor men who are still poor, who just have money. They have not become rich yet. You know, you can be poor and have money. And you can be rich and not have plenty cash like me. I'm very, very rich, just that the cash is not very plenty. But if it is a wealth of mine, I get up. There's one house opposite my own. They choke the money they are spending on this house. All I'm thinking of is that, who is this poor man who's building this thing? Because the space around it, you can't park two decent banky-like cars inside there. But if you see the house, those of you who've been to my house, you know what I'm talking about. You must see the roof like this. It'd be like Tower of Babel shooting up to the heavens. You are getting my concept. I'm thinking of something else. I have looked at the whole thing, all right? I have said, God, this, you know, this is the kind of thing I like. But the final finishing of it, I have left it to him. I can't even ask God for the town or city I want the house to be in. I am not one of those who believe that you must build a house in your village. If you are not going to live there, what are you doing with it? If your mother is there and you want to build her a house, it's good. You build the one she will enjoy. No, that's just my own attitude. Where am I going to live eventually? I'm in Enugu now. That's all I know. And I keep on telling you, a year before I came to Enugu, I did not know I was coming to Enugu. It was not in the agenda. It was not in the pipeline. It has not even crossed my mind at all. Therefore, if in 1 year's time I'm no longer here, don't think I deceived you. I did not know too. It of course, do you get my point? But generally, if somebody says pray about it, there are things I have prayed, however, I said, God, there must be no sweat. No. I'm not going to be visiting site every weekend. I commissioned the project. I phone people periodically. How far? We are going on, sir. Very nicely. Are you building it like God spoke to Moses? According to the pattern that I showed you in my office? That's the only thing I concern myself about. Those are real fundamental things. People have preached to us, and maybe to you today, mention the name. Say, God, what I want is a Lexus. You really don't want a Lexus. You want what a Lexus represents. You really don't want a Lexus. They will give you a Hyundai Genesis, and you'll be satisfied. Yes. Maybe Pojo will bring a 909. By the time you see it, you will forsake all your love for Lexus. Yes. You don't want a Lexus. You want what it represents. And I tell you, when you want to pray, go for those things. Try and analyze it down. There are people that, God, please, this admission this year is my portion. What is the admission? A master's program. And God, you will supply money that I can go and do this master's in University of London. God said, you don't want masters from University of London. You want GLO to employ you. Let's be honest. And you are not in love with that Enugu guy, are you? No. You just want money. Why don't you just ask for money? Are you getting what I'm saying? Why are you disturbing me with this long prayer point? Carry you to London, bring you back. Then when you are back, I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, with the masters from University of London, I will be employable in these top companies. Lord, I'm Shakapolo, Tobolo, 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 Tobolo. Oh, glow, 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 glow. Yes, according to the will of the Lord, glow is where I want to go. God said, why is this boy disturbing me? He wants money. He could have prayed this prayer for money 3 years ago before he decided he wanted to go to London. Are you getting my point? If you really want to go to London, it's a good thing. You should. No, let me tell you, among the prayers I prayed, and it will happen one day, I have prayed that God, you will bless me so much that. And I tell people that one country, I don't know if people like to go to Europe, I don't really like. Where I like, the country I like, this is personal, this is not spiritual. All right? I'm removing the pastoral cloak to say this. Do you follow my point? This is just banking. The country I like is America. And there's a reason for it. They are like me, large hearts, you get my point, large people, all those narrow streets, and countries that manufacture Kia Picanto and Mini Cooper, they are not places I like to go. Americans, you know, I mean, you see their roads wide, you just bank it, just my hand. So, amongst the prayer, I pray, Lord, give me enough money that when I can take my wife and all my children, and maybe somebody who's helping me take care of them, all of us, just disappear on holiday for 4 weeks. I'm not going to walk. I don't mean that preaching engagement. Go from one American church to the other. God forbid that. What am I? Look, listen. It has never enticed me. It has never interested me. The time I went to the USA, my friend said, the pastor of the biggest church in biggest Redeemed Church in America is your friend. They link me. The guy called me one day. We chatted. Okay, I will pass back. We'll talk again now. In my mind, I'm not going to call you back. We're in the same city. I was in that city for 30 good days. In Houston, Texas. I said, my wife said, you said you are too hard. I said, I'm not calling him back. Then why? I said, because Nigerian preachers, that's what they do. He will think I'm under Nigerian preacher. I didn't come to America to preach. I came to attend this course in cytopathology. And to write, that's when I wrote Great Faith Can Be Yours. So forget me. One day in America, there's another guy went for a wedding. My friend in America was wedding. So the pastor of the girls' church, big church in LA, flew in from America for this thing. And then they called me to the high table. And then they called the pastor to the high table. So we were chatting. So, okay, I said, are you a doctor? I said, no, not the medical doctor, he has a PhD in law. Okay, you have a PhD in law, we're just chatting. Okay, that okay. So you, I said, no, I'm a medical doctor. What I mean is, and I talked to back in the woman, he said, oh, he was so excited, you know, as a preacher. Especially being a professional and a preacher. And now he was so excited to see another guy like himself. So he gave me his number, his email, everything. I told my wife said, you're going to call him. I said, if I call him, he'll think I want to come to LA. I'm not calling him. We'll meet again one day. Me? I said, once you call, you know Nigerian preachers say, praise the Lord. Have you visited my website? You like the messages? Are you blessed? Are you blessed? I could be a blessing to your church. I can be a blessing to your church. I know. But I'm not going to call you. I won't call you. If you were a pastor in a back league, would I have called you? It's not because you're a pastor in LA. Do you almost think I should call you? I refuse to. It's a man, in fact, actually, I'd gotten materials from his church even before we met. So I told him, okay, you're so and so person. I said, oh, I have some of your CDs in my house. You know, we chatted a bit. It's somebody I would love to relate with. But I said, you're there for LA. I know they call you. You're there for LA. Los Angeles, I'm not calling you. If to say na back lick you there for calling. They say you doing suka, maybe I'll call you. This one when you call there, I know they call you. Don't mind me. That's why my wife said, your ways are too different. I say, yeah, don't be angry with me. I just have a feeling that if I call, the world would think like, okay, Pastor Manke, we are booked for the next 7 years. All right, where can we? Even if he's not thinking like that, I will be believing he's thinking like that. Well, that's just me. I have my own crazy ways sometimes, all right? So, that's just me, all right? The point I'm just making is that, look, I said, dear Lord, you will give me that. I just want to cross my leg. Let my children go and play. Follow their friends. I have a lot of friends who live in those areas. Let them follow technically they are cousins, so they are not physical blood brother, but they are my brothers in the Lord. Very good, close friends. Let them follow their cousins, spiritual cousins, to go and play. Let them play around. Let me waste a lot of money. Waste is part of the will of God periodically, all right? I can prove it to you. I don't have time right now. It's in the Bible. I can. All right, listen. You should waste 10% of your income. You should. About that. You should waste it. Something around that. Waste it. Carry your friends. Go and chop. Drive to Okigwe. Buy suya. Eat it there. Come back home. Not every day. On your birthday is the best time. On your anniversary, a day that says something to celebrate. You should celebrate. There's one teaching the Lord gave me a few days ago about the spiritual nature of human beings. At such times, you get spiritually lifted. Believe me, at least 1 year is added to your lifespan. It's on record, normally speaking, right? It's on record that those who celebrate their birthdays live longer. They do. There's a spiritual connection there, and I'm not discussing that. All right, so that's what I'm making. So I can ask God for that. Do you follow my point? And to the natural person, is wasteful. But God doesn't think so, because I went straight to the point. And he's God. Those things don't mean anything to him. The one he won't like is for me to start praying. Dear Lord, you open great doors, hallelujah. Doors in Africa, amen. Doors in Asia, amen. Doors in Latin America, amen. Doors in Southern Africa, amen. And doors in America, say, holy. That's where he was going. He wants to travel for holiday. Do you follow my point? He start praying. Say, Lord, we'll be able to give the word as you have blessed us in Enugu here. To the world, the church that is in America. I said, look at him. The boy wants to travel. Leave him. You will pray. You will break open the doors that were closed. We'll break open the doors. Then you start praying, Lord, these books, Lord, let them sell. These are our CDs, our material. People will be blessed. God say, oh boy, the truth is that now money you define. There's nothing wrong with asking for money, but ask for it. Stop pretending. I don't know whether you get my point. Stop pretending. Start looking like you want to be righteous before me. Say, Lord, what am I looking for in America? No, it's just your gospel that's pushing me. It's just your gospel that's pushing me. I thought God said, this boy is a really very foolish boy. He doesn't know I can see the heart of people. Are you following what I'm saying? I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That's how you ask correctly. Listen, I told you something before. There's virtually nothing that you can ask God for that cannot be asked for in a pure way. What I mean is this. It's not good to be materialistic and tied to material things. Do you follow my point? But God will give anybody, any one of his children that asks for any material thing from him, he will give it. It's nothing. David said, Solomon said that for a man to eat,
and drink and rest coolly and rejoice in the labor of the hand. What do you say it is? It's a gift from God. It's a gift of God. So if I ask God for plenty of money so that I will chop and be happy, it's good. It's a righteous prayer. The one that the Lord hates, they say, Father God, this money as it comes, will preach your gospel. Amen. As it comes, we'll be able to help to mobilize the movement of tracts and this. Because you see, this is what kind of thing I don't like. If you want to ask for that, ask for it direct. You don't need to ask for money for it. I don't know where I get my point. God, I want any good to be filled with tracts. Just ask simply. Don't tie it through money. Because I can do it without you asking me for money. If I decide to do it by creating birds that carry tracts and drop them around the house, which didn't concern you. Do you follow my point? Because most of the time, what God is saying is that the one you are not asking me for is because you want money so you can eat better. It's not, there is nothing wrong. Say, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, your gospel will be preached to Bobo right now. Bobo wants to enjoy life too. Do you follow my point? And that, just by the way, my time is up. Stop quarreling about things that you really like. You understand my point? A man passes. He's smelling very nice. Very nice. And that says, that's very nice. What kind of perfume is that? He tell you that, oh, this is kind of, give you the name of the perfume. And the person telling you now says that it's 35,000 naira a bottle. Now you hiss. That's foolishness. That is foolishness. Why should a man use 35,000 naira to buy a bottle of perfume? Rubbish foolishness. But you forgot that when you smelt it, you paused. You asked questions. You prayed in tongues. When you smelt it, did you not? Why are you not cursing the man now? Because he paid 35k for it. The problem is what? You don't have 35k. So this is how to pray prayers. And I do that. I say, dear Lord, that's a very nice perfume. I won't mind it too, but if you want to give me, don't bring the money because I will never buy it for 35k. No, really. That's how I pray my prayer. Say, Lord, if you bring it, I will spray them. If you give me the option, I will sell them. But, yeah. No, my reasoning is simple. Really, I actually agree with you. Why should I buy a bottle of perfume for 35k? At this particular point in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a point in life. Nothing wrong with 35k and perfume. Do you get what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with it. No, the two of them, they are not quarreling. The problem is you. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? I mean, like somebody, you know, people have used it to preach. Praise God. You will do something for the Lord. Mary took a bottle of perfume. What a whole year's wage. You will say, God, my whole year's wage for this year, I will give to you. No, if that's what you want to say, it's not true. Mary did not take her whole year's wage. She took a bottle that's worth a poor man's year's wage. That shows that Lazarus and his sisters, they were rich people. I don't know whether you get what I just explained. We say, look, what you are going to do right now is that you will take a whole year's salary and give to the Lord. Give a whole year's salary to the Lord is good, amen? But please, Mary and Martha and Lazarus kept a bottle of perfume in the house worth an annual salary of a daily laborer. Obviously, they were hiring laborers. But the point I'm making here is this. Jesus is not saying it's too expensive. Do you follow what I'm saying? Somebody had it and used it the way she liked. And the Lord said it was a good thing. Two different people did such things. And he's not complaining. So what I'm trying to explain is that if you don't have, you don't have. Don't fight the man who has. Oh, God gave me that grace long ago. You know, see, people are tracking. They say, these rich people, they are not happy. They are happier than you. That one is guaranteed. I'm not saying they're happy. But that they are happier than you is guaranteed. If someone beats your head, you can't be very happy. You know, you need extra strength to be confessing joy and gladness. I mean, it's a matter of, I'm not saying the man inside the, you know, the Maybach is happy. Did I say so? But I said the chances that he's happy is higher than the chance of the man on the bicycle being happy. That one is for certain. So there's no point in quarreling. There's no quarrel about it. Say, don't mind them. They're all thieves. Who said so? Warren Buffett is not a thief. You know that? Even Bill Gates is not a thief. You know, I'm talking about people who are not even believers now. He's not a thief. You know where he got money from. In Forbes, they will list the thieves amongst the rich people for you. You know, no, Forbes. They will tell you this. There was one Mexican drug lord that would have been like number four, except that he's a drug lord. So it's not every rich man that's a thief. So if you see a nice ride passing in front of you, don't quarrel. There's no need to fight. Just say, ah, now wow, this thing for good, oh. But Bobo never reached that level. We thank the Lord, it's coming. And keep walking. I used to do that in those days when I was in Lagos. I used to play some very funny pranks. My friend, my cousin's driver, my friends will laugh. Look at the man being like, see, man, driver. I'll stop. Good afternoon, sir. The man will wave, thinking he knows me from somewhere. I said, don't mind him. I was greeting his car, didn't know. You think for him, do I know the man? I'm just greeting his car. Ah, maybe I'm driving and you see one nice ride, the flash, you say, come off the road. I go, waka, come on. He said, why did you leave the road? I said, why won't you leave the road? Did you see the person who wants to pass? I mean, I just left the road out of respect. According to Mike Murdock, what you don't respect, you don't attract. A lot of people, they have prophesied poverty upon themselves by cursing other people. They don't mind them, foolish people. They are not happy. That's why they can't sleep at night. When you hear a man talking like that, you shake your head. Then you can sleep at night. If you play music, the landlord will jam the head. And you turn down your music, can you sleep at night? If you snore too loud, they give you quick notice. You can't sleep at night. Why are you making it look like just a rich man that can't sleep at night? Nobody sleeps at night without God, rich or poor. You follow my point? If God doesn't give you joy and gladness in your heart, whether you are rich or poor, you will not sleep at night. You get what I'm saying? What have I taught today? Let me close. I'm talking about how to ask them what they call properly. And I'm talking about asking sincerely, getting down to the bottom of the matter. When you do that, you find out you can ask in faith. You can ask in faith. I've told the Lord materially, I use car and house, coke, I easily relate to it. There are things I like about those things, and I've asked him about it. So the model of car doesn't change, as far as God is concerned. This year, it can be an LS470. The following year, it can be Ford released a particular, it doesn't matter. The thing really that my heart is asking for has not changed. Just as a testimony, a sister asked me so many years ago, "So what exactly are you looking for in a woman?" I wasn't married then. I gave her 3 points, and she said, "I asked you the same question 2 years before, and these are the very things you said." Meanwhile, you want your wife to be fair or dark, tall or short, fat or slim? As God knows, it was not a prayer point. My prayer point, because you see, when I was much younger, I didn't understand why a man should marry a woman as tall as my wife, that two of you be competing for height. I thought it was not godly, actually. It's very funny. It's a very funny thought, Abby. I just said that your wife should be like between your chin and your very stupid thing. Is it not a very, you know, you wonder where did you get that kind of idea from? And for me, it used to be odd when a woman was taller than the wife, the husband. I used to wonder why did you arrange that kind of thing? Crazy, childish idea. How did it become like that? My father was taller than my mother. All my friends, their fathers were taller than their mothers. You know, it just brings things in your head unconsciously. Like, I now watch 10 Commandments, in which Moses and all the lords in the house of Pharaoh, alright, they were all taller than the Nefertitis and the Cleopatras, you know. All the Cleopatras and Nefertitis were that head. So it just burnt in my head. But of course, as I began to grow, those things began to drop. Then I formed the ideas of God. I'm not teaching about marriage now. And years passed. Until today, if I have to counsel a young man, it's still the same counsel I'll give the person. And my idea has not changed. Because those ones are founded on spiritual things which cannot change. They were founded upon the word of God which abides forever. Look, if you are fat as a woman, don't kill yourself to be thin. Because it's just the season. It's not. There's no good thing about being thin. Yes, it's just the season. It's just now that we are all buying, we are watching E, all these stupid channels that DSTV is harassing our lives with. Alright, and you see some hungry, you know, life is funny. They will show us in Africa that hunger is not allowing us to gain weight. Then they turn to America and say that they refuse to gain weight because it's fine. Human will be tossing you to and fro. Only the word of God abides forever. Those days, let me use the white people as an example. For a woman to be fine as a white man, a white woman, she had to be very pale. Not a pale. No, they are white. So you want to get your skin as white as possible. A white person, though. So at a point, they used to take arsenic. They didn't know it was poisonous. Some arsenic compounds were being used to, you know, make you lighter. And the people started falling sick. You know why? Because that time, everybody worked in the farms. Everybody worked in the fields. So everybody had a tan. You know, when you boom and cause a tan, they all had this bronzy thing to their skin because they all worked in the fields. And only the rich people who had many servants never went out into the field. So if you showed up and you were very pale, it's a sign that you were very wealthy. Then the verse of life changed. Everybody works in skyscrapers, in buildings. Now, only less than 10% of the population now works on the farm, now work on the farms. And Mexicans have taken over all the jobs, who are always brown anyway. You understand my point? So the issue now is that if you are brown, bronze, you are tanned, it's a sign that you are so rich you don't need to work. You can go on holiday, go to Barbados, Jamaica, and lie naked on the beach while the sun is frying you. You understand what I'm saying? It's now a sign of beauty. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Let God satisfy you. Do you follow my point? Yes, and stop asking God for stupid things when you want to pray. Say, Lord, my wife must be tall like Naomi Campbell and thin like the modern Agbani Darego. You know, Agbani Darego was very slim before. Now she's thin. The difference between slim and thin. You follow what I'm saying? And God looking at you say, if I slap this boy, that is very wicked. You'll be asking things that are not according to my will. You see what I'm talking about? The will of God now. You see what I'm calling the will of God now? Start asking things that are not according to my will. After you have allowed the world to deceive you. They tell you that after 4 years, if a boy is not driving a jeep, he's not doing well. You have never blessed your father. And you think you are doing well because you bought a jeep and all your friends are shouting, Raka Didi. When I kill you now, when you are only 45, they say I'm wicked. You forgot that I said, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days might be long. And Paul said in the New Testament, the first commandment with a promise. Look at things that should bring blessing your way. You've ignored them. You have allowed the world to be deceiving you. So when you come to pray, you are asking me for things that only end slap and koboko. Honestly, you get some prayer points when you start praying like this. God says, if I flog this boy myself, he will die. So we'll send two angels to go and destroy it. Why? Because you formed, the world has given you prayer points. This year will not pass me by. Last time I went for our alumni convention, I was the only person that year that did not come with a brand new car. Lord, this year, that's why Jaguda pastors, they love people like you. Who will say to God that this year is my year? If you were driving an old car before, you will sow a seed, and before the end of the year, the car will be new. That's it. From the presence of God, lying prophets have come down to Ahab and Jehoshaphat. And you will believe it because you are Ahab. The word has taught you their standard. You will sow the seed of a car. Very good. Because you see, she last year went with the Tokumbo car. This year you go with none. Then I got you hoing. Why? Because you allow the world to give you what? The prayer point. So let us close, John.
and let us go home and pray serious prayers. Do you follow my point? Don't forget one thing I said, all of these things. It's a very valid prayer point. To say to the Lord, I like that skyscraper. I want to live in it. Why? I just like it. I want to be tasting breeze from above early in the morning. No, no, really. If you can say it purely from the heart, that from a pure heart, it's a correct prayer point. That's why I give that story about my Lamborghini and the big Jeep, that is sports car and big truck. Look, one man likes one, another likes. I'm not competing with anybody. Do you follow my point? Yes. I'm not competing with anybody. People won't even tell me what is enjoyment. It's what I think enjoyment is, that is enjoyment. There are people who smoke who think they enjoy. I'm a pathologist. I can give you 20 diseases that smoking causes. You know, actually, smoking is not a sin. It's a bad habit. I can give you 20 diseases it causes. So I won't smoke. No matter how we're puffing away. My own is that I'm counting chronic bronchitis, emphysema, thrombangitis obliterans, worsening of cancer, that's good. Cervical cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancer. I'm counting in lung cancers, three different types. That is, you know, I'm a pathologist. That's my job. How you look, you just sacrifice yourself unto the devil. How you be looking? I don't consider it enjoyment. There are those who consider going to the beach enjoyment. Is it a bad thing? No. But one thing I don't know is why somebody should go and put his life at risk of being carried away by a wave. I'm not interested. You want to swim? I have a philosophy, my friend and I. Said swimming is not the will of God. And the two of us, we deceive ourselves with it because we can't swim, you know? He said, if God wanted us to swim, he will give us fins and he will give us gills. And since he has done none of the above, we shall not swim. Just self-deception because we can't swim. Do you follow my point? Uh-huh. It's nothing wrong with it. I'm just trying to bring out an issue. There are times you like something. For some people, the world, you know, a friend of mine, the other day, said, I want maybe one day, we should all go to Barbados, or where was it, Zufos? Is it Jamaica? They said, we should go for holiday. We're just, you know, just dreaming. I said, why should I leave Africa to go to another African country? I know that one is in the Caribbean, but they are all blacks, they are not. So if I want to travel for holiday, I should go to where they are not, I should not go to Africa. I want to go and see vegetation. Say, see wildlife. This goat in my house, what do you think it is? An average Oyinbo kid has not seen a goat. That's why he goes to what do you call it? Zoo to go and Kenya to go and see wildlife. I saw wildlife as a child. What's your problem? Wildlife does not impress me. I'm not joking. My father and I used to go game hunting. I'm not joking. He had this double barrel. We walk into the bush, we wear his boots. I used to carry for him. I used to wonder why the gun was so long. He used to drag on the floor. Until I grew, I could now sling it. They had a book like this, The Art of Hunting. No, The Art of Shooting. And then, sometimes I keep quiet. Then you see the animal look like this. Why should I go to Kenya to go? I saw that one as a child, right here in Nigeria. It's a big deal about it. But there are things that I want to do. Do you follow my point? One day, man, pay $300,000. No. Is it $6 million to go on a shuttle, you know, going to the space? How much was it? A few million dollars. No, $20 million. 20. Wasn't six. Oh, $20 million. First one Russian, then one South African. Why should you spend $20 million? That kind of thing. It doesn't concern me. He wants to see the world from above. I'm content with the photographs. Just snap the picture and show it to me. Chinedum has a lot of it on the computer. They are going to view it from there. But really, if I love anything, I ask the Lord simply for it. And he will give it to me. I won't try and spiritualize it. Say, Lord, I need this trip to cool my spiritual temper so I can bring forth revelation for the people of God. It's a lie. It's a lie. I just want to do it. It's good enough. And if I don't want to do it, the world won't tell me to do it. I'm not competing with anybody. Your mates are building houses. I've always said it doesn't concern me. It doesn't concern me. In its time, I will have everything that I want and that God wants me to have. Have you got my point today? Let's bow down our heads then to pray.